100-word stories. Welcome to the 100-word stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100-word story every day until the day I die. Well, it's right up there on the domain name, and I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share. Because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this crazy thing the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was carrot. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to them. Let's see. First up, I need to get into the folder. And, oh, Thomas Petrie is back and up in front and ready to go. So let's go ahead and just hand things over to him. Thomas, tell us a story, or three.
She offered him a carrot, believing a little extra incentive would help Webster try harder and do better on his schoolwork. Miss Tisdale made him an offer. If he did his homework every day for a month, she would give Webster full access to her large collection of French postcards after school. Webster kept up his end of the deal, but Miss Tisdale reneged, realizing that contributing to the delinquency of a minor was far more than what she was willing to do. In spite of the offer, Webster realized he was capable, so he continued to do exemplary work. Her new ring was 3 carats. She was beautiful, but she didn't know how to spell. Eleanor bragged to all her girlfriends and her family. The diamond was flawless, but Eleanor was not. She was as dense as a post, but her fiancé ignored it, as she was tall, slim, and busty. Her fiancé, Carrot Top, was a well-known prop comedian, almost as pretty as Eleanor after all his cosmetic surgery. Both of them were red-headed, and to add to the horror, zealous exhibitionists. Carrot Top used Eleanor as one of his props when playing the smaller rooms in Las Vegas. Carrots are a staple at our table. We have carrots every time we eat supper. Dad was so proud of his garden, he planted several extra rows of carrots, so we harvested bushels. Mom serves the magnificent root mashed, steamed, grilled, poached, caramelized, braised, boiled, baked into carrot cake, and served raw and peeled. After a month of eating so many carrots, the whole family took on an orange tinge, much like the woman at the market that got spray tans on a regular basis. We looked like players on Jersey Shore, or a half carton of brown eggs, extra large.
Thank you, Thomas, for that wonderful and humanizing view of Carrot Top, possibly the only one in existence. That guy irritates the hell out of me. Right. Hey, but he gets up on stage, right? And he takes lots of vitamins. Yeah, vitamins. Back to the coffee. I fired up the coffee. Let's see how freaked out I get today. What is it about this stuff? Do I need to go to decaf? Then what's the point? I don't know. Next up we have Jeffrey Fisher. The 1-2 punch here. Thomas and Jeffrey. And whew. A little too much. No. I don't think so. I think this is just the right amount of 100-word storiness. Jeffrey, take it. Take over. Let me take a break.
Hello, 100-word stories weekly challenge listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher here with 2 more stories. This time it's on this week's topic of carrot. My first story is called The State of Education. The Easter Bunny chomped on a carrot, the tension fading from his shoulders. Another Easter come and gone, his work done. He relaxed. A fat man in glasses with an angry expression on his face walked to the Easter Bunny, perspiring slightly. A camera crew filmed his every move.
"What right do you have coming around to people's houses and spreading your unwanted religious filth?" the man said, an insane look in his eyes.
The Easter Bunny finished chewing his carrot and swallowed.
"Michael Moore, you're an ignoramus. I'm a candy-dispensing rabbit. Only an idiot like you would think I have any religious connotations."
He chose another carrot from his pile and nibbled at it. And my second story is called Shiny Object. "They're best when they're long and hard," Stan said to his fiancée, Carla. They sat in the cafe next to the jewelry store.
"What are you talking about? Hard, sure, but long? They're best when they're big," Carla replied.
"Well, sure, big is good, but size isn't everything. In fact, too big, and they just hurt your mouth."
Carla looked at Stan quizzically. "Are you daft? I would never put it in my mouth. And yes, you guys say it all the time, size isn't everything. But let me tell you, from a girl's perspective, you're wrong. Bigger is better."
Stan bit off another bite of his carrot.
"We are talking about this vegetable, aren't we?"
"Carrots," Carla said. "No, silly. We were discussing my engagement ring. Half a carrot isn't going to cut it."
Thank you, Jeffrey. Next up, we have Stephen the Nuclear Man. Secrets in the Sand. All right. He did not record it. So, you know what happens. Ooh, right.
"Now, son, never go near the tattoo shed now, my dad tells me every time I go out to play. I won't," I would reply. As I became more matured and my curiosity grew, I had a problem of always sneaking about and eating all the carrots meant for soup. I went to the shed and carefully picked the lock and went inside the shed. It was dark and smelled of wet dog and rotten flesh. I stood there and waited for my eyes to adjust to the darkness. Moments later, I could see clearly. There was a man chained to the ground, and there were bones to many different creatures. Remember, the Zombietron is not a toy. Thank you, Stephen. I wonder who that guy is chained up in there. You think it's Henry Kissinger? Could be. I'm not sure.
"I will eat your flesh and then negotiate a treaty."
Don't go there. Instead, where I'm going to go to is Cliff. He's early this week. So, Cliff, Uncle Monster, that's the man. Ooh, his topic suggestion. That's tempting. I just put down two more topic suggestions into the queue, and I've been picking them, and we'll see. Somebody suggested carrot, and I said, "You know what? Screw it. We're going with carrot." Just, hey, if you don't like them, don't suggest them. Hey, it's a challenge, right? Not supposed to be a cakewalk. Like, the topic for this week is a verb. No, not happening. Instead, what we have is Uncle Monster. Ooh, have we done Monster yet? No, we probably have.
Good. You're awake. Let's get started. You have access codes to information that your government doesn't want to share. I want those codes. No, you don't know me. You do know my partner, though. The tall redhead you've been drooling after for the past few weeks? Yes, that's her. She was supposed to get close to you, flirt with you, lead you on until she could find the codes in your apartment. But you didn't have them there, did you? Who am I? Well, let's just say that if she's the carrot, I'm the stick. Now then, shall we begin?
I'm the stick. That needs to be a bumper sticker, a t-shirt, sky written across all the world. I am the stick. You know, maybe I'll put that on my tax forms. Occupation? Stick. Oh, thank you, Uncle Monster. Otherwise known as Cliff, but to me, he will always be Uncle Monster. Shall we stand on the shoulders of giants and listen to what Richard has put together? Sure, let's go ahead. I'm glad he stayed. All these other people who come and go, but he stayed. He stayed!
Hello, everyone. For some reason, this week's prompt of Carrot I found particularly inspiring. So, three stories this week, the first of which is called Uncle John. The high point of the village fete is always the misshapen vegetable competition, which is invariably won by a carrot shaped amusingly in the form of genitalia. It's a family joke that Uncle John, despite his best efforts to contort, twist and meddle with the produce he grows, has never managed to come up with a winning entry. And so it was a bit of a shock to find that he'd won first prize this year. Although it wasn't my vegetables that impressed the judges, he explained to us, dropping his trousers to reveal his prize-winning and impressive carrot-shaped genitals. Okay, here's my second story. This one is called Promotion. When you get to 1 million carrots, they give you a certificate and a feature in the company magazine. It's not worth anything, but you've got to have some incentive in this job. There's an art to packing carrots. 6 to a packet, 12 packets to a box, 50 boxes a day, with the promise of that certificate and fame after just a year of packing. 10 million carrots gets you a promotion. 10 years on the job, and finally, I've reached the magic number. Another certificate and a brand new career. Tomorrow, my first day on the parsnip line. And finally, it's the second instalment of George's story. This one is called Provisions. George's search of the eerily empty infirmary rewarded him with overalls and a large holdall from a cleaning cupboard. Eventually, he found the hospital kitchens. Acutely aware that fresh food of any kind would be in short supply, he filled his pockets and bag with as much as he could carry. Handfuls of carrots, long-lasting, full of nutrients, and easily digested raw, would be his staple food, at least for now. Grabbing a tin opener and a good selection of kitchen knives, George settled down to what was likely to be his last decent meal for quite some time.
My first day on the parsnip line. I am the stick. I think we're building up a story here. Thank you, Richard. Cool. My first day on the parsnip line. I may just change the name of my office to the parsnip line. I like that. In fact, you know, they're naming all the lines here, the new rail lines that they're putting down. You know, like blue and red and purple and university. And no way we're ever going to build it because the people who live here don't want a train running through their residential neighborhood. There ought to be a parsnip line. That would be kind of cool. Right, I should continue. Next up, Muncie. Yes, Muncie, that Muncie. That lovely, bouncy, and delicious Muncie. You should have at least 3 helpings of Muncie every day to help with regularity, or irregularity, or just strangeness. Here's Muncie. Then you've got to listen to him 2 more times today.
Greetings, my army of the damned. Your new April nickname has arrived. Also, You are all damned. Also, you've been drafted into my army. So yeah, busy month. Do you feel like a story? I feel like a story. Let's do a story. The Appropriate Level of Seriousness with Which to Approach Dessert by Chris Monroe. Through the window he crashed in a shower of glass. He'd have been surprised had he not been distracted by pain, both from the sudden roundhouse kick and equally sudden laceration of his face and arms from his quick, brutal journey into the street. But I wasn't done. I climbed through the now empty window frame, kicked him in the ribs, grabbed him by his hair, and turned him around to look him in the eye. "Carrot cake," I said, "isn't real cake. It never will be. Also, I'm ready for the check whenever you get the chance to print it up." "It's okay. I'm a waiter. I can make jokes about beating the hell out of waiters, and it's not racist. Anywho, I have a blog at christophermonroe.blogspot.com, a book called Broken Escalator, and I tweet at Munzy Munzy. Until next week, my army of the damned, I leave you to your business of the damned."
Is there a podcast of the damned? This is it. Oh, thank you, Munzy. I guess we, you know, damned. Or damn, that would make a good topic. What do you think? What do you think, people? Let me know after you've listened to this. Or if you don't ever listen to this, just fake it. Just, I don't know. Damn? Do we want to go there? I've wanted to do one where it's just all awful, dirty. You have to include one swear word or something. Although I'd have to give it a flag of adult, but who gives a crap, right? Doesn't matter anymore. I mean, that makes sense when you're, you know, getting 100,000 downloads and you're some sort of smarmmeister like Howard Stern or that Adam Carolla or whatever. Or if you're bleeping things out like that Reed dude. But, you know, come on. Are there children listening? If you're a child, write me. Oh, maybe not. Okay, never mind. I don't want to hear from children. Okay, Stephen the Nuclear Man's kid, Chris the Nuclear Kid, although he's not technically a child, he's almost, well, he's participated in the stories. He's a man, damn it. Although it would be nice to have a story from a four-year-old. If anyone has any four-year-olds and you can get them to write a 100-word story, preferably not in crayon, I don't know. There's this one site that does 100-word stories for kids and that. It's like, oh, you know, it's not twisted enough. You know, you need a little Norm Sherman in your life. Or not. I don't know. Anyway, that was Munzy. How about some Batgirl? Yeah, that'll get us going in the right direction. If not, we'll be backwards in the wrong direction, which sort of works. What do you think, Tenny? Yep, she's over. Oh, she turned her head when I said Tinny. She's learning. Tin Roof Swirl, otherwise known as Little Tin Goddess. Tin Cat. Who's a Tinny? Her back coat, by the way, is starting to get a little darker. So her swirlies. So she's got more swirly patterns in. I'll try to take photos of it. The problem is we don't let her outside, and it's best to see her by daylight. So it's kind of tough. Yeah, you little tired girl. Okay, now that I've talked to a cat enough, here's Batgirl.
My maternal grandmother lived into her 80s, her last months bedbound in a nursing home. Up until the end, she cared about her appearance and insisted she have her hair and makeup done. I couldn't imagine what comfort she found in the mirror's reflection of sparse hair and time-eroded skin and features. Almost 20 years later, the image I see in my own mirror appears decades younger than the person who looks back from a photo of myself snapped moments before. The permanent self is an illusion. It feels like I'm killing time, but time is killing me.
I know the feeling, man. Thanks, Bot Girl. Yeah, is it just me or are bathroom mirrors slightly... Is it concave or convex? Maybe it's just a con. How it makes you appear a little slimmer. What I know that... Yeah. And the gray in my hair. The lighting. I want to see it is, darn it. That way I know what I'm ignoring when I don't color it. And if I am going to color it, I'm going to color it green. Or blue, or bright orange, or yellow, or something that I can riff off a Ken Nordine piece. Crimson was angry. That's what I'll do. I'll color my hair a different color every month, and riff off that particular Ken Nordine color. Plaid! I like to listen to that in the morning and then all day long. That's going through my head. Crimson was angry. Amber. Yeah, it's a thing, man. Does Ken Dorndine, does he still make recordings? I hope he does. I bet you that people just call him just to hear him say, "Hello, what do you want?" Kind of like Thurl Ravenscroft. That would be kind of, you know, he's no longer around, but that would have been all, "Hello." Or Barry White. It could have been fun. Just the whole recording. And then Miguel Ferrer. Add him in, too. People of the distinctive voices. That would be cool. All right. Now that I've rambled enough, Tura Bregianu has been waiting patiently. All right, Tura. I'm sorry. At least the complimentary meals in the green room are good, right? No? It's just crackers and hot sauce? Well, I can't have hot sauce anymore, so might as well leave it. Oh, it says keep refrigerated. Oh, my. Well, let's have you do your story and we'll call an ambulance. Okay, here.
I was 6 when I first helped with the harvest, pulling carrots. My father showed me how to grab the top, jerk it north, south, east, and west, with the whole weight of my little body, then up, ripping it free. I had never thought about food before, but seeing that first carrot I realized, food is living things. Life cannibalizing life. Even the carrot preyed on the helpless earth, thrusting its roots in to suck out nourishment. I grew up. I studied biology, and this became my research. How to destroy all life. Only then will the horror end.
Oh no, the horror is just beginning. Thank you, Tura, for reminding me that it's all horror. Now I'm going to Atlanta in a month. Got another conference coming up. Unless I get fired before then, like, you know, why bother? I don't think, though. I don't think I'm going to get axed, though. I just assume that, like, every day could be no matter where. My last not only working, but alive. My last as a carnivore. The last that I ever poop through my butt and wind up with a colostomy bag. The last that you do this, treat every single thing that you do as your possible last time you do it. And some of it will be a relief, and some of it will be, oh. You know, every time I have popcorn, I'm like, oh yeah, I love popcorn. And then I realize, oh, this makes me horribly sick. What am I doing to myself? I need to find a food that will take the place of popcorn. And no, don't say carrots. I used to like those. And then they just... No. Just Tom. Tom, can you just start... And by the way, it's It's Tom's birthday. So everybody say happy birthday in the comments. And if you don't say happy birthday in the comments to Tom, I'll know that you don't listen to these and that you don't love Tom. And that means you're an awful, terrible person. So, happy birthday, Tom. And here's his story.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called No Good Deed Is Left Unpunished. The doctor flipped the eyepiece away. Son, you're going to need glasses. He scribbled out a prescription, handed it to me, said, eating carrots should improve your eyesight. I took his sage words to heart, ate a mountain of carrots. Didn't really care for the taste, so I started grafting carrots onto potatoes, pumpkins, and apples. The carrot cherry was so popular, I was able to start gene splicing carrots into frogs and pigs. The carrot cow was the height of my life's work. People's sight improved. Unfortunately, carrot cows developed a condition called sad cow's disease. Before people went insane, they went blind.
Are you blind to the greatness that is Tom? Put your hands together and applaud. Thank you, Tom. And once again, happy birthday. You people better be joining me in saying happy birthday. Don't wish him a happy birthday. Guarantee it. One way to make certain that a birthday is special and happy is to listen to a story by Serendipity Haven. Oh, I bet you were an absolute thrill in choir when you were growing up. Let's hear your sweet dulcet tones, Serendipity.
Caratopia is that wonderful place that every rabbit dreams of. A place where the sweetest of orange roots grow in unfettered abundance. And lush fronds of feathery green carrot tops cover the ground as far as the eye can see. Every rabbit hopes that by living a good life, karma will smile on them, and they will be reborn into a life of luxury and joy in that mythical place of eternal carrotiness. In actual fact, Caratopia is a large farm run by a consortium of foxes, cleverly planted to appeal to unsuspecting bunnies and entice them to their doom.
Ah, Rabbitopia. I'd love to live there with all the rabbits. Now, would that be rabbits or bunnies? Are those two the same? Is there a difference? I don't know. Who knows? Carrotopia. Now that could be except it could be Carrot Top Ia for like Iowa. That could be bad. You know, maybe we could do a story about it. We've already heard enough about Carrot Top. Stop it. Muscle bound freak. He was better when he was, I was going to say funny, but he never was. Oh, thank you, Serendipity. Next up is Zach Man, the more said, the better. So I'll just let you hit pause and say a bunch of good things about Zach Man. And, okay, we're back. Here he is. You've said all these wonderful things about him. I'm giving to him. Here he is.
Say, kids, let's make some carrot cake. Sure, I'll grab the box. No. It doesn't taste good from a box. Carrot cake needs to be made from scratch. Father, why are these carrots yellow? They're heirloom carrots. People grew yellow first. Now stop pretending they are daggers. It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye. Some of these older carrots look bad. No worries. Someone on YA told me about making finger puppets out of carrots with mushy bottoms. Now, put the shredder blade in the food processor. I hate losing my skin to a hand shredder.
Thank you, the Zach that is man. Zach to the man? Something? I'm trying to sound hip and cool. I'm failing. I'm failing, damn it. This is because I'm damned, I tell you. Damn you, Muncie. Someone that is obviously not damned, but gifted with the gift of glib? Gab? Glib-glab? Lizzie, save me from my stupid, rambling self. Please?
Hello, everyone. My story this week is called Of Carrots and a Mayor. And here it goes. The carnival tunnel was inaugurated by the mayor, a competitive man who was the heart of the town. The tunnel became a giant success until he decided to increase the speed of the carts to compete with the opening of the carrot museum in the neighboring town. The result was appalling. Several died and a handful seriously injured. The tunnel was closed immediately. The mayor fired. The last people heard of him, he was chewing on a carrot, wearing a carrot-top hat, and wandering about, muttering, I'm a carrot, hi-yo, hi-yo, to the carrot museum I go. Okay. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Keep coming back. We need you. We need all of you people, each and every week. Maybe one day we'll have 30 stories a week, then 40, then 50, and then... I'll get sick of it. No, let's keep it at around 20 or so. Anyone else that wants to join in, really, no more. I'm just going to send the topic to people privately. Sorry, you've had your chance. It's only been almost 7 years. Really? Goodbye. No, we can't do that. Because sometimes people get sick of it, or they need to take a break, or they die, and they don't tell me. I mean, you'd think they would say in their will, oh yeah, you should tell that 100-word stories guy, I'm dead. No, gee, thanks. And I leave in my will all my debts. Ha ha ha! Screw you, Drabble Boy. I do so love the Baileys. One thing that I love more than Baileys is to hear Daphne. Is she in a panic this time? I'm not sure. She did say that the kitty cats have a clean bill of health. And they always say, oh, for a 17-year-old cat, they sure are young and spry. Isn't that cool? Young and spry. Well, that's probably not what they said. They probably said, fluffy! So, here's Daphne.
Hi, this is Daphne Abernathy, and I'm all alone here. Baxter's sleeping off a trip to the vets. 17 years old, clean bill of health, always a good sign. So I guess my shameless plug really this week should be support your local animal shelter. They have lots of dogs and cats that need homes. And if you're lucky, you'll find one that will give you 17 years of unconditional love. Okay, and this is my 100-word story. For this week's topic, carrot. My younger brother would leave out cookies and milk for Santa, and a carrot for Rudolph. One year, my brother insisted we leave out 9 carrots so the other reindeer didn't feel left out. Santa left a thank you note and some Star Wars Lego figures. The next year, he left out carrots and hummus. Santa left a Lego X-Wing. Last year, he left out a crudité platter, and Santa left a Lego Millennium Falcon. This year, I found him cutting vegetables into decorative shapes and flowers. I asked him what he was doing. He said he wanted a Death Star. I have no idea what he's going to do next year.
And if you're really lucky, they don't get their ass run over by a car after 3 years. God damn Bruin. Oh, thank you, Daphne. We didn't find him at a shelter, though. Found him in the bushes. He was over there. I keep looking over there. I don't know why. It just... I don't know. I know that for a while, Mist was looking all over for him. Maybe she still does. Maybe that's why she's up on Gina's side of the bed during the day. It's like, that was Bruin's spot, too. He's like, oh, this is his. Maybe it's the last thing that smells like him. Think about that for a minute. Yeah, Although, no, it's... Oh, no, we've done the blankets and the sheets since then, but there's a small little comforter that's up there that's one of those comforter things you only wash, you know, twice a year. Because you don't really sleep. Okay, maybe I've said enough. It's probably covered by cat hair by now. Right, who's next? Miata. Miata Stardust. Alright, I'll just drag this over to here, and hopefully you completely forget about my rambling, and go. I remember Mama told me to eat my carrots, or sit at the table for the rest of the afternoon, looking out the window, viewing the green grass and the countless colors from flowers. I decided to taste just one carrot cube. I was convinced that these were not real carrots. Carrots should be orange cylinder shapes with fuzzy, bright green leaves on the end. At least, that was what Bugs Bunny ate. So I picked up the fork and raked them into my milk. I heard Mama say, "Be sure and drink all your milk, too." Bummer. Thank you, Miata. You know, I prefer raw carrots and raw stuff, even raw pea pods and raw peas. But for like a year and a half, I was getting those 99-cent mixed vegetable bags from Kroger. Because not only were they great to eat, I'd put sriracha and butter on them. Now I can't have sriracha because it'll tear me up inside. And, well, the packs, they're better as ice packs on my elbow when it hurts. Because every now and then it does. Everybody hurts sometimes. Did I remember to thank Miata? If I didn't, sorry, thank you, Miata. If I did, oh, you're not getting another thank you out of me. I know that trick. Some people just live for that. Tricking me. Speaking of tricks, let's play a trick on Red Goddess and read her story about Lola, but change it so that Lola is happy at the end and everything is fine. We know that's never going to happen. Why are you so cruel to Lola? Why is everyone so cruel to her? Let's find out. There is a new foolproof diet advertised every 10 minutes. I wish I was exaggerating, Lola thought. She sees the grocery aisle stocked with a rainbow of pills, powders, and liquids. Each one has the secret to a quick and natural weight loss. One even promises a bonus, glowing skin after use in 7 days, or your money back. A lot of the hotel guests who are the most body-conscious weigh as much as an adolescent. Nina, a social 20-something law clerk, always complaining she's fat. She's a size 2 and cleansed on carrot juice daily. Until her body-hating rants, Lola perceived her as the ideal triple threat, sassy, strong, and street smart. Guess real beauty is a myth. It sure as hell is. Oh, sorry. Just a little commentary there. Oh, I don't consider myself beautiful, but other people do. Fools. Oh, thank you, Red Goddess. Space Turtle. See, I got to do that. And he sent it in on time and recorded it. How's that? That's pretty good. Although, I don't think we're going to... No, we're not going to go with that. That topic's a little... See, you got to think in terms of, oh, that would be a great topic. And then if someone snickers in your mind, you know, one little tiny voice in your mind says, you know, right? No. I don't know. Coffee. I'm going to be so freaking wired, aren't I? I haven't used the immersion blender for anything fun for a while. You know? I need to. Maybe I'll just use it on soup. And make a vegetable puree. And then drink it. Ha 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 ha. And then become Mr. Hyde. Where the hell did that come from?
Stuffed up space turtle. Just a little mister here. With my allergy filled 100 word story. For the topic of carrot. Old MacDonald had a sim farm, and he grew many crops, including carrots, which he planted for some arbitrary reason. After that, he bought a plot of land right next to the bustling city with taxis like beetles and big gray walls. Then he put cows on that plot of land. Finally, he removed the fencing that was adjacent to the city. This allowed the cows to roam into the streets. When they got hit by cars, they would get squished flat and run around like black and white pancakes. Old Farmer MacDonald was amused and reloaded his game.
Thank you, Justin. So I guess this week's game was Shadow of the Empire? Oh. Let's see. Keep going. And one and two. Up! Oh, it's Danny's turn. Oh, goody! Yay! My three favorite words. You'll see. Okay, Danny, here he is.
Yes, hello, hello, Danny Dwyer, whatever, here I am, let's get on with the story. Weekly Challenge 363, Carrot. I recently helped a distressed woman from my past, distraught over a song from the movie Juno. My response? You mean you're faced with an unplanned pregnancy and being the offbeat young woman you are? You're making an unusual decision regarding your unborn child? Damn, your life is more complicated than I can imagine. Oh, and in less than 2 hours, I'm supposed to come up with a 100-word story about the word carrot. And I have writer's block. The best I can come up with is this story about a donkey named Meatloaf flying spaceship. Isn't there carrots in Meatloaf?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think there are carrots in... I occasionally get the Meatloaf from Hungry's when they order from there for work. I've requested a salad most days next week. I just don't feel like doing the... Although I may change my mind. I may throw in one meat. What I'll do is I will change tomorrow's meals to meatloaf, and I will report back. I don't think it has carrot in the... And if it does, it's unrecognizable. Unless they use, like, V8 to be the base, and then... I'm not sure. Well, anyway, what would it be like if you did stuffing but used V8 for the... I don't know. I know you're supposed to use chicken stock. Or broth, or whatever the hell they call it now. Chicken juice. V chicken juice. Salmonella-rific.
One person that will never get you ill on the consumption of their juice is Norval Joe. Ha!
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and the Master of Macabre, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 363 with a prompt of carrot. Here are two stories. You're saying this stuff is safe to eat? If not, there will be intergalactic repercussions. Boral griped from his jail cell. His bright orange prison suit made him look like a giant tuberous vegetable, while the food on his plate was supposed to be carrots, but lacked the neon green color he was used to. The guard grunted, but started when the hallway door suddenly opened. Flirty walked in, wearing a 5-piece business suit, looking like a lawyer, and waving release papers. "What took you so long?" Boral asked. "It was a long walk. You had the keys." Durgle thrashed fitfully where he'd fallen asleep on the living room couch. Again, pounding on the front door woke him. He'd barely gotten to his feet when the door slammed open, splinters of wood flying and the doorknob dropping to the floor. Widow Finkelstein stood on the front porch, holding a large cardboard box. She dropped to the floor and snarled, "Here, you can deal with them." She stomped away. Peeking into the box, Durgle saw 6 black, white, and tan carrots the size of his shoes, wriggling and mewling. Durgle woke on the couch in a cold sweat. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Ah, that harmonica. That's usually a signal that it's wrapping up and I'm getting ready to put this all together. Thank you, Norval Joe, for giving me hope. Giving me hope that I'm done with this for the week. No. It's a good thing. Really. Oh, wait. Oh, Singh got one. Yeah. He got one in on time. Okay. I'm going to get his story in and then we'll start with the wrap up. So, thank you, Norval Joe, for once again. And then here's Singh, who's probably some kind of monkey by now. Iron, gold, I don't remember what they are. Iron, golden, platinum, diamond, something. I should put up a guide on the page. I thought golden were people who did 100 stories. Iron, 100 stories in a row. And then you have double gold and double this and double boil. Here's Singh's stories. You don't need to hear me ramble.
The man, the dog, the cat, the duck, and the quest for the tin foil star by Chris Mooney Singh. The man attached a pole to his cart and a tin foil star to its end. He dangled it in front of his nose and then set off from the city. Dog, cat, and duck came along for the ride. After 3 days in the desert, Duck was getting worried.
All right, guys, where are we going?
Relax, said Cat. Enjoy the scenery. There was only red sand, although sometimes skulls and bones. Finally, Dog broke the silence.
We're following the star, the shining tin foil star.
Oh, really? Ah!
Said the doubting duck. The man just pulled the cart of three alone, in silence. When they reached the craggy mountains, they saw twin peaks. Duck grabbed his binoculars.
Ah, look! Mountain climbers!
Show me, said Cat. Just as one ice picked his way to his summit, a shaft of light hit the crag like a sign from the heavens. Dog took the binoculars to check the other climber's progress. Seeing the wondrous light, the second climber's face said, "Oh, no!" He was on the wrong peak.
Poor bastard, Dog chuckled. Waste of a perfectly good mountain.
Oblivious, the man kept following his star. It dangled in front of his bulbous nose like a donkey's carrot. Down the other side of the mountains, the man stopped beside deep water. Dog, Cat, and Duck got down to stretch. The man wandered off while Dog snuffled, Cat stalked, and Duck took a dip in the gorge. The man hadn't returned, so they set out to look for him. He was in a cave, staring at rock paintings of men with spears being hunted by giant kangaroos. They joined the man like a family back in their living room, eyes glued to the television.
What's on?
Duck joked.
Shh, said Dog. Sit on your stone, pointed Cat. It's prehistoric planet.
As the man followed his guiding star through the desert, Dog, cat, and duck sometimes saw disturbing sights. Around a waterhole, they noted all the trees were bare, with their leaves turned weirdly white on the ground. Getting up close, they realized the leaves were bodies of sulphur-crested white cockatoos. The man stopped to look and observed 3 minutes of silence. After, no one was confident about drinking the water, which had a radioactive glow. So, they moved on. Upset, the three glued sad eyes to the guiding tin foil star. They were glad now of the man, their only family. As the cart creaked on following the star, a sandstorm arose. Looks bad, said Dog to Cat, who nodded agreement.
Are you kidding? Duck said in a flap. We're all gonna die!
Taking emergency action, the man put the star in his pocket. Turning the cart on its side, he lit a candle in its grotto and settled in. They did too. For 3 days a storm raged. They were down to their last candle. Then the storm stopped.
Hallelujah!
said Duck. The man just righted the cart, refixed the pole star, and they set off again. Dog, Cat and Duck were city slickers. They had been on daylight savings time too long. Tired of schedules, it sneaked away into the dunes. Now there were only burning days and the Milky Way nights. The man snored lightly as the wind rattled through the grass tree clumps, keeping all three awake. Each day, they seemed to recognize places where they had passed, yet they weren't conscious of shifting direction. Was the man's cart wheeling in circles? Finally, after traversing great tracts, crossing mountains, swimming gorges, they saw the most beautiful sight of their long journey. They had come home. Yes, they'd returned to the city.
Heck, we just did a big loop, stated Duck.
Depends, said Cat, on how you view it. Cars were bumping towards Smog City. When the man reached the freeway ramp, he had a choice, to go straight ahead or follow the detour sign which said, "This way to truth and beauty." It was pointing to a hole cut in the ramp, like a circle cut in a river of ice. Through it, the night sky glinted with stars.
"Uh-oh," said Duck. "Here we go again."
And the man tugged the cart headlong into
the universe.
Thank you, Sing. Okay, so what, another epic tale? Another journey? Smog City. I'm going to say that over and over again. Smog City. No, I won't. Never mind. One more story for this week. Planet Z. Let's get right to it. I know you got things to do. You could have been doing them while I was doing the... Oh, shoot. I should have been doing my laundry. Oh, crap. You see? Every freaking week. Oh, well. Here it is. Here's Planet Z.
We live far enough north that there's usually snow on the ground when it's time for Easter, which makes it really hard to keep the snowman's nose from getting swiped by that Easter bunny son of a bitch. Sure, we could come out ahead in the deal, getting a basketful of candy and colored eggs for a rotten frozen carrot, but it's the principle of the deal. Today, he steals a carrot. Maybe tomorrow, he steals a car. So I cored out the carrot and put in rat poison. Hope he doesn't do the same with our Easter eggs.
Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for links to the author's websites, the text of the stories, or an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of stuff you won't bother with anyway, including, you know, leave a comment saying happy birthday to Tom. If you don't say happy birthday to Tom, You know what? I'm taking away your monkey. You no monkey for you. You hateful, terrible person. Oh. If this show inspired you to write on the topic of... What was the topic? Carrot. Send the story in with the recording and I'll add it to the main feed all by itself. All by myself. Until next week, where the topic will be, this thing says, idiot. I need to update this script. When the topic will be, yes. Oh, yes, I am an idiot. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening. And as always, you want to say it, Tinny? You want to? No? Because you're a stupid cat? Oh. Keep it brief.